Okay, council will please come back to order. Carla, would you please read time certain 653 and Andrew, I'm assuming we should read all of them?
It's probably easiest if we read each one and go in order, just because some are resolutions and some are ordinances.
Put them all, read them all now? Or do you want to do them in sequence?
I think do them in sequence, yeah.
Okay, so would you please read time certain council item 652? 653.
Yes. Conduct a proposed use hearing on state shared revenue.
Mr. Scott?
Yeah, so
welcome.
At this point, Commissioner, we would open the hearing on the state shared revenue.
And I will read a script that you've handed me that has been blown up for the occasion. This hearing is being held by the City Council of Portland, Oregon, in compliance with the provisions of the State Revenue Sharing Regulations, ORS 221.770. It is to allow citizens to comment on the proposed use of these funds in conjunction with the annual budget process as proposed for council adoption. The fiscal year 2016-2017 budget anticipates receipts totaling $16,008,397 from state revenue sharing under ORS 221.770. As has been the case in prior years, it is proposed that this revenue be allocated in equal parts to support fire prevention and police patrol services. Is there anyone here today who wishes to be heard on this subject? Carla, has anyone signed up on this subject?
No one signed up on 653.
Hearing none, I will now close the hearing scheduled to discuss proposed uses of the shared revenue, of state shared revenue. I am now closing this hearing. Andrew?
So, and at this point now, there's a resolution around state shared revenue. State shared revenue.
Carla, would you please call the roll?
Or actually, I think we need to read the resolution.
Right. Yeah. Okay. We're on 654.
Carla, please read council item 654. I'll try to get this right at some point.
Certify that certain services are provided by the city to establish eligibility for state shared revenues.
Director Scott.
And this resolution simply does what it says, and it certifies to the state that we do meet those eligibility requirements.
Resolution is before us. Does anyone wish to be heard? Seeing none, Carla, please call the roll.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Novick?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Fish?
Aye. The resolution passes. Carla, please read council item 655.
Approve accepting funds from the State of Oregon under the State Revenue Sharing Program for the fiscal year beginning July 1, 2016 and ending June 30, 2017.
Director Scott.
And this ordinance, again, required under state law, is that we must put forward to say that we are, in fact, accepting the state shared revenue that we've just held a hearing on.
Does anyone wish to be heard on this ordinance? Carla, has anyone signed up?
I did not have a sign-up sheet for this one.
Seeing none, we'll take it to a vote. Carla, please call the roll.
Saltzman.
Aye.
Novick.
Aye.
Fritz.
Aye.
Fish.
Aye. The ordinance passes. Carla, please read council item 656.
Update fund statements of purpose for various city funds.
Director Scott.
So this ordinance updates fund statements of purpose, and all funds in the city have statements of purpose that describe what the fund does, who's the managing bureau, where the revenue comes from, what the contingency and reserve requirements are, and finally the disposition of funds. And so this is a relatively new process we're doing as part of the budget process, but we update these when they need updating. What you have in front of you then are the changes that were brought forward by the bureaus or by the city budget office. And there is an amendment to this particular ordinance, and it should be the first amendment on your list that adds a couple of additional fund statement changes around the health insurance operating fund and the hydroelectric power bond redemption fund.
So we have the amendment before us, or it's in our packet.
And so we would need a motion and a second to add those additional funds to this ordinance.
They are part of our packet. Do I have a motion to accept the amendment?
So moved. Second.
To staff, the changes, the amendments are actually highlighted in our document, and And so this looks like more housekeeping than substance.
Yeah, that's right, and I'm happy to walk through.
I don't think it's necessary. I just want to call that out. Colleagues, any questions? Does anyone wish to be heard on this matter? Carla, would you please call the roll?
This is on the motion.
6-5.
This is on the amendment.
Excuse me.
Correct.
This is on the amendment.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Novick?
Aye.
Pritz?
Aye.
Fish?
Aye. The amendment passes. And now we'll vote on the ordinance as amended. Please call the roll.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Novick?
Aye.
Pritz?
Aye.
Fish?
Aye. Okay. Carla, would you please read Council Item 657?
Adopt the annual budget of the city and establish appropriations for the fiscal year beginning July 1, 2016 and ending June 30, 2017.
Director Scott, and I understand we have some amendments to consider.
We do. And with that, all of that fun preliminary work out of the way, this is really the main ordinance today. Following this, we will also have the tax levy, which is also very important. So I will briefly walk through what is in your change packet, and then there are some amendments for discussion today as well. Just as a reminder, the total budget that we will be adopting is $4.3 billion. The total general fund this year is $602 million, of which $501 million of that is discretionary. And the total FTE in this adopted budget will be 3,065. You're all familiar with this as we've gone through the entire process, but the additional investments, I think it's worth just reminding folks that there is an additional over $30 million in money being invested in housing and homelessness, and $11.5 million in city infrastructure, close to $7 million in public safety, and $4.5 million of parks, among some other key investments in this overall budget. What you have in your packet is what we call the change memo, and this is attachment B. And this walks through line by line and bureau by bureau and fund by fund all of the changes between the approved budget, which you acted on about 3 weeks ago, and the adopted budget, which is what's before you today. I am happy to answer questions about any of those line items, but I'm not going to go through in detail. I do want to point out just a few things out of there that I think are worth noting on the record. So again, this is attachment B in your packet. But I do want to point out that the Bureau of Development Services is adding 13 positions. These were approved in the spring bump, and they are funded with fee revenue, but we are adding those into the adopted budget as well. The overall capital set aside that we've talked about throughout this budget process, we did have about $181,000 of additional ongoing to add to that, so that the capital set aside next year will be just under $500,000. So this is we haven't had a capital set aside in many, many years in the city, but this money will be available not in 16-17, but in future years. It's already allocated for specific things in 16-17, but in future years will be available for either existing capital or new capital moving forward. There is a change in the auditor's office budget. There are some reductions in the amount of TriMet revenues expected, as the auditor for the hearings office is going to propose no longer providing those hearing services. And so that money is backfilled with general fund. And as a result, the auditor has agreed to keep the hearings office in her budget. Transportation Operating Fund. Transportation is adding 13 positions as a result of passage of the gas tax, and those will be funded out of those revenues, but that is being added to the transportation budget. And those were the main things that I wanted to point out. Again, I'm happy to answer any other questions about those changes that are in the adopted budget.
Seems pretty straightforward.
I think it is, and with that, we can turn to the amendments, and you should have those in a packet.
So here's what I'm going to propose. I'd like you to walk us through the amendments. I'm then going to seek a second to have all the amendments placed on the table as a professional courtesy, and then we'll take testimony, and then we'll vote on them separately.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
It does. So the first amendment's already been taken care of as part of the fund statement ordinance. The second amendment, this is a motion to transfer funding for the Equitable Contracting and Purchasing Commission from the Office of Management and Finance to the Office of Equity and Human Rights. So that transfers $25,000 of ongoing general fund resources from OMF to OEHR for the administration of the Equitable Contracting and Purchasing Commission. The third amendment on your list is a motion to transfer funding for the B Corp program from PDC to the Office of the Mayor. There was $75,000 in the approved budget. This just shifts that from PDC to the Mayor's office, as they'll be administering that program. Amendment number 4 is a motion to increase funding in the Office of the City Auditor to implement the recently passed political consultant registration and reporting software. So that allocates $9,488 of one-time general fund resources to the City Auditor to move forward, actually for an interagency agreement with OMF to move forward with that political consultant registration. The funding source for that addition will be one-time reduction to general fund contingency. The next appropriation or the next amendment is a motion to amend attachment D to add a budget note about special appropriations in last Thursday. The budget note says that the adopted budget allocates $30,000 in ongoing general fund resources to support the last Thursday event. Fiscal oversight of this program will be provided by the Administrator of Special Appropriations, not the Regional Arts and Culture Council. And then the last amendment is a motion to increase funding in the Portland Housing Bureau for Homeless Services. And this would increase intergovernmental revenues in the Portland Housing Bureau, the Home Grant Fund, by $321,634 to support homeless services. The federal grant funds have been awarded to the city and must be appropriated in the budget to be available for expenditure on July 1st.
So, Andrew, let me just be clear. There are a total of 6 amendments.
Yes.
And we have the draft language, including the proposed changes to the health insurance operating fund.
And I should actually say there are we have already adopted that with the fund statement. So
there are
5 additional amendments.
So three amendments. So I have a total of 6 here.
Total of 6, and number 1 was already taken care of in the ordinance that you just passed.
Okay.
5 minutes ago.
So it's amendments
2 through 6.
Hales 2, 3, Fish 4, 5, and Saltzman 6. All right. Do I have a, I'll move those amendments. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, the amendments are now on the table. Carla, do we need a vote, or can we just take testimony at this point?
We should take testimony. Ask for testimony.
I believe we can take testimony at this point.
Okay. So we now have amendments to the adopted budget on the table. Does anyone wish to be heard on any of these amendments? Carla, did anyone sign up to testify?
No one signed up.
Council colleagues, any discussion before we take it to a vote?
I just had one question. Who is the Administrator of Special Appropriations?
Moving forward in the next year, the Office of Management and Finance
okay.
will be administering Special Appropriations.
Okay.
I do want to note that that budget note, the original proposed budget and approved budget would have had RAC sort of administering and managing last Thursday. This budget note says that RAC will not be doing it, and it says that fiscal oversight will be provided by the Administrator of Special Appropriations. It does leave unresolved program oversight.
Okay, thanks.
Okay, I think we're ready to vote on the amendments. Carla, please call the roll.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Novick?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Fish?
Aye. Andrew, any final words before we adopt the budget as amended?
I have nothing further.
Carla, would you please call the roll?
Saltzman?
Well, I'd like to thank everybody in the budget office and throughout the city who helped put together this budget, and including my colleagues here on the council and Mayor Hills as well. So great job, everybody. Aye.
Novick?
This is a budget that, among other things, makes historic investments in housing and homeless services, and also begins to address the staffing issues in the Bureau of Emergency Communications by authorizing money for more staff for a bureau that is really overworked and understaffed. So I really appreciate the fact that we're able to do that. So those are just a couple of the examples of how this budget is very good for the City of Portland, and we appreciate the contribution of the taxpayers of all kinds that contributed to it, which we'll address in the next item. Aye.
Fritz.
Well, first, thank you to the City Budget Office, the independent City Budget Office, for all of your work on crafting the process that has worked out so well so that everybody felt heard and was heard, and that we made multiple changes in the budget in response to community testimony. It's unfortunate that Mayor Hales is off trying to get us another $40 million for next year's budget right now, because he deserves a lot of the credit for crafting a bold budget that he can still be proud of, and for continuing to work with the council when it was clear that there wasn't majority support for a large increase in funding for senior and retired police officers. And I thank my colleagues and their staff for working collaboratively to come up with an alternative that is prudent and responsible, and it was done according to state budget law, so that the members of the council didn't discuss the budget after it was we became the budget committee. I particularly thank Mike Abate, the parks director, and the parks staff, who had one of the most tricky parts of the budget with figuring out how to make or propose nearly $1 million worth of cuts at the same time as working with our partners in Laborers 483 to make sure that over 100 of our valued parks workers are now going to be paid union wages with benefits. And this, to me, is one of the most satisfying parts of this budget, that we're starting to recover not just from the recession but from Measure 5, because it's since 1990 that parks workers in particular have been not treated as fairly as some other city workers, and we're starting to correct that. So thank you to my colleagues for agreeing to do that, including continuing to fund the preschool programs, Selwood Community Center, Buckman Pool, things that the community said that they were most invested in. Thank you for funding the New Portlanders program and the Parks for New Portlanders in Office of Neighborhood Involvement and Parks, respectively. Thanks to Director Amalia Alaconda Morris and the great staff in the Office of Neighborhood Involvement, but also the 50-some people in our budget committee who met every week for months to come up with our proposal, which is starting to get to what do we actually need to fund a constructive 21st century neighborhood and community involvement system that recognizes we have people speaking 100 languages in our community, and every one of them has a right to be involved in decision making. Thanks to Tim Crail and all of my staff. I particularly want to thank Jasmine Wadsworth, who is in her final week of employment with me. She has gotten a position with the now presumptive Democratic nominee, working in a battleground state, so I'm pretty excited about her elevation to hopefully the highest power in the land, and also her diligent work in, along with the rest of my staff, in making sure that all of my materials for both the budget and the comprehensive plan and everything else are completely in order. So just some of the other highlights. The arbitration decision is a $4.3 million investment. Background investigators at $1.8 million. Which will mean that we'll be able to interview more candidates and hopefully start restoring ranks to the police bureau. As Commissioner Novick mentioned, the Office of Emergency Communications, those folks work extremely hard, and I am looking forward to their new bargaining package coming to council as well. We're funding the Digital Equity Plan with $142,000. Much needed administrative staff in the Office of Neighborhood Involvement. Sometimes those folks don't get the credit that they deserve for making everything else tick so well. $8.5 million for capital projects in transportation, parks, and emergency preparedness, thanks to our 50% set-aside council policy, which I continue to believe is a very sound policy. That's including $3.8 million for parks repairs and $3.3 million for transportation needs, in addition to the bond to the gas tax money, which Commissioner Novick worked so hard to bring into the city. And as he mentioned, over $28 million for housing and houselessness, recognizing this council is aware of and intent on helping our most vulnerable citizens, as well as many of those in the middle income brackets who are getting priced out of their homes. Again, thanks to everybody for this long and very necessary process, and we'll get started again in just a few months. Aye.
Fish.
You know, today always feels a little anticlimactic because we've been working at this for so long, and the process began in the fall with budget guidance and a lot of hard work at the Bureau level, then extensive public hearings, lots of work here at Council, and then the collective work of the Budget Committee shaping a budget, and then a final hearing, and now the final vote. And all the important things have been said. I just want to add a couple of comments. Andrew, you and your team do a wonderful job, and I think when we look back someday at structural changes in our government, creating an independent budget office, which was something Commissioner Fritz felt very strongly about, was an extremely important change, structural change. And I think it's had a very positive impact on our process. and you and the people who work with you go above and beyond to provide the staff support to the council to do the budget process. So thanks to everybody on your team. I also want to thank all the folks that I have the honor of working with at our utilities. And, you know, I was keeping track this year of the number of people who came to a public forum to testify about anything relating to our utilities. So capital spending, proposed rate increases, anything on your mind. And it turns out a total of one person throughout our entire budget process came and testified publicly one way or another about the business of our utilities. I've been on this council long enough to remember when it was a slightly different kind of level of participation by the public, and the issues were a little more charged. And I think it largely reflects not just the conscious decisions of this council about how we spend ratepayer money and the policy direction that we've given the bureaus, but the tremendous work of the men and women who work for our public utilities. And I could not be prouder of what they're doing for our city, and a special thanks to the directors and the senior staff and the people in the front lines delivering great services to the public at a fair price. The citizen budget committee members, some of whom are here, many that are not, that join us and sometimes ask the really great questions that some of us take for granted at the budget forums, we want to thank them. All the people that came out to our public forums and testified. One of the best parts of our job is when we get to have that direct interaction with people. And I think, I hope, and Commissioner Fritz has mentioned this in the past, I hope that when people see a direct connection between their advocacy and budget choices, I hope people understand that this process really is open and transparent and has meaning, because we make changes in our budget based on what we hear from the public. And so that part is very important. This is the second year in which we've had the luxury of carving up substantial surplus. And it will not continue forever. We cannot anticipate blue skies forever. But it's the second year in which the council has made a significant investment in what it thought was the most compelling issue of the moment. Last year, it was transportation. And the mayor and Commissioner Novick led the council in making substantial new investments in basic infrastructure. This year, it's housing and homelessness. And I'm proud, as my colleagues have all said, to be on a council which has said, we're going to prioritize discretionary money to address this crisis on our streets. And I'm proud of the choices we've made operating within the constraints of the surplus that we had to spend. And I also want to say that since ultimately we as a budget committee are responsible for the budget, I'm proud of the way the council came together to craft a budget that could get majority support. Finally, I want to thank the people that I get to work with every day, my chief of staff, Sonia Schmansky, Jim Blackwood, Liam Frost, Jamie Dunphy, all the folks in my office who work so hard and provide me with the materials that I need to go through this process. This is a good budget, and we're all hoping and our fingers are crossed that the economy continues to grow, but it may not. But as long as we have the luxury of surplus, I think we're making the right investments in things that are going to make a difference in people's lives, and that's why I'm proud to support this budget. Aye. Okay, we have one more item to take care of, Mr. Director.
That's correct.
658.
Please.
Approve levying taxes for the city for the fiscal year beginning July 1, 2016, and ending June 30, 2017.
This ordinance is aptly titled.
So let me just be clear. Anybody that votes for 657 but votes against 658, we would say of them that they are people that want to go to heaven but don't want to die. Is that fair? Is that a fair characterization? Okay. So does anyone wish to be heard on 658? Hearing none, let's take it to a vote.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Novick?
I think I quote him every year, but and I don't know if I can approve of what Commissioner Fish already said, actually, about going to heaven and dying, but Oliver Wendell Holmes, Jr. said, taxes are the price we pay for civilization. If we didn't have taxes, we wouldn't have a police force, we wouldn't have firefighters, we wouldn't have 911 dispatchers, we wouldn't have parks, we wouldn't have streets. If there was a version of, someday I want some public-spirited organization to do a version of It's a Wonderful Life, where the Jimmy Stewart character imagines what the world would be without taxes and then tries to live in that world. So if any, you know, filmmakers are watching our broadcast today with a big budget behind them, I invite you to do that. I also want to reiterate my periodic message to Dick Wolf, asking that just once on Law and Order, I want the prelude to be, in the criminal justice system, the people are represented by two separate and equally important groups: the police, city employees, generally paid for by property taxes, and the district attorneys, county employees, also generally paid for by property taxes. These are their stories. Aye.
Fritz.
Yeah, taxes pay for services, and it's our job to make sure that we spend the taxpayers' money wisely, spend the ratepayers' money wisely, as Commissioner Fish said, and to help people understand that we do not invent money and we cannot do services without paying for them, except where we're able to get volunteers, and we often can't get enough volunteers. Government can't do it all. Government shouldn't do it all. We rely on our community partners. As Commissioner Novick was imagining a world without taxes, I fear that some at the national level want us to go exactly there, and so I hope we don't find out, because government needs to pay for the services that only government can pay for, and we are still not doing that. We know that we are far behind in our facilities maintenance, in our road repairs, in our safety projects, in our housing assistance. There's a lot still that we have not done in this budget. We've done as much as we can, and I believe we've done the best we can with what we have available, and we all need to look at what else can we do. Aye.
Aye. Final word, Andrew?
Thank you very much.
Thank you all. We're going to take a 2-minute break and then shift into the next item. Thank you very much.